Amen. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 4. Our text for this evening, Proverbs chapter number 4. Amen. We sang those two songs, Living by Faith and Faith is the Victory. Boy, those are true, true songs. Amen. And as a child of God, there's nothing more essential than faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Amen. And everything we do, matter of fact, we read Hebrews chapter number 11, and we see all those things those people did. Everything they did was by faith. Everything that, not everything they did in their life, but everything that is recorded in that text and is bragged on was done by faith. And that tells me that a lot of what we do that's not by faith, God's not really taking a whole lot, paying a whole lot of attention to that. Things he's looking for is things we do by faith. Amen. Things he's going to brag about and he's going to reward us for, I believe, are things that we do by faith. And so I do appreciate those two songs. And we need to live and walk by faith. Amen. Amen. As a child of God. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 10 is where we're going to pick up our reading tonight. I preached last Sunday night, I guess it was, from verses 1 through 9. And I talked about a family tradition, wisdom being a family tradition. I've dealt with that a little bit. Now tonight I want to try to deal with the rest of these verses if I can. And I've got a little lengthy thought, to be honest with you, tonight. And I'll try to deliver it and give you what's on our heart. We're just running through the Proverbs, really running really quickly. And trying to see and hit the highlights maybe of what's being said. We're leaving out a lot. That could be zeroed in on and maybe magnified and that would actually be useful for us. Maybe one of these days the Lord would let us just settle down in here and deal with it. I really believe the book of Proverbs could be years of study if we take the time to do that and glean and gather a lot of good stuff out of the book of Proverbs. But what we've done so far to me has been a blessing. I hope it has been to you as well. And so we're going to pick up in verse number 10. The Bible says, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You remember that he starts these lectures and these admonitions off with a call of attention to his son or to his sons or children. Verse number 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now that phrase straightened does not mean that he's not running a straight path. It's talking about it's not narrowed. He doesn't get tripped up. He's talking about not being tripped up, being able to run on a way in which you'll not stumble. All right. Verse number 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Verse 14, enter not into the way of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. That's reading down through verse number 27, Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kuhn, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I sure do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, this message tonight, I said we're finishing up chapter number 4. And we started talking about a family tradition because it talks about the father and the mother, the grandfather, the grandmother, and the son, and he's dealing with the family, and they're trying to pass on the wisdom. My father taught me, now I'm trying to teach you. And now in these verses, verses 10 through 27, he really gets to the heart. He's speaking to the heart. And so I've titled tonight's message, A Heart for Wisdom. A Heart for Wisdom. That's the goal, by the way, of teaching your children. It's not just tell them what not to do. It's to try to encourage them so that they want to do what's right and that they don't want to do what's wrong. That they want to do what's going to be helpful and that they'll not want to do what's going to be hurtful. And so you're trying to not just give them a head knowledge, but actually a heart knowledge, as we say, and get it in their heart that they long to do that which is right. Now, we have here the inspired father. He's inspired of God to pen down these letters. This is his fifth and sixth lecture that is his admonition to his son. And he rehearses some of the things that have now become very familiar to us. For example, he talks about the contrast between the way that is right and the way that is wrong. He talks about the contrast between that way of wisdom on one hand and the way of foolishness on the other. The way of righteousness and the way of sin. And so he shows the contrast between those two ways. By the way, if it's right, it's righteous, it's wise. If it's wrong, it's wicked, sinful, and it is foolish. So there's just those two ways that he deals with. And then he gives a link, even a parallel between wisdom and righteousness, and talks about that same thing with foolishness and sin, and shows us those that throughout the scripture. And he gives a motivational clause. And each of these, he tells him that if you'll listen, it's going to pay off for you one of these days. It's going to be beneficial. What I'm telling you, I'm not just flapping my gums. I'm not just trying to waste time. I'm not just trying to fill in a part of your life, but I'm trying to instruct you and I'm trying to help you. And that if you'll listen, it's going to be beneficial down the road. Matter of fact, verse number 10, we see that very well. He says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Amen. He said you're going to add years to your life if you'll just pay attention to what I'm trying to say. Amen. I remember when I first started doing drywall, and I was a young boy. I was actually 14 years old that summer when I started helping my cousin's husband in his drywall business and started learning. I remember there was two elderly men that were electricians. Their last name was Eller. One of them was James, and I forgot what his brother's name is. They're two brothers doing electrical work. And they were, I think James was 86 years old, still going to work every morning, doing electrical work. Now, he didn't move very fast. He had a little six-foot ladder, and he is the slowest thing that you've ever seen, especially when you're trying to come along. They've roughed things in, and you're going to try to do the drywall, and they're changing lights and moving boxes and all this. And it's as slow as all get out. But I remember they would make fun of him. Different people would make fun of him about how slow he moved. This is what he said. He said, "I've lived this long because I hadn't gotten in a hurry with electricity." He said, "That stuff will kill you." That's what he'd say. Amen. Amen. So what he was saying to us was he was saying, if you'll listen to me, I can help you live longer, amen. Or you can go run off the side of the building and kill yourself, amen. And so that's what the father's doing to the son here. The father is giving him a motivational call saying, listen, I'm trying to help you. And if you'll listen to me, it'll add years to your life, amen. And then he gives a warning about the foolishness of sin. And those things have become very familiar to us throughout the song of the Proverbs as we've looked at them thus far. Then one more thing. There's the idea here, and I touched on already, that he's not just interested in his son conforming to the teaching. He actually wants his son to value the teaching. He actually wants his son to not just agree with it, but actually to understand that what he's telling is right. Look at verse 13. He says that, and you give that phrase, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." He said, get it for your own, amen. Make that your own and hang on to that wisdom now, amen. I'm going to use this fifth lecture as my introduction and the sixth lecture as my main point. And so we'll look at these verses in here as he deals with this. He starts off verse number 10 with, "Hear, O my son." And then you come down to verse number 20, and he starts back up again with, my son, attend to my word. So you see the two different lectures that are in there. So we'll deal with these first ten first, and see what the father is saying to his son in giving him the instruction. By the way, let me say this by way of introduction, and these first ten are my introduction, by the way. But by way of introduction, it may sound like I am repeating myself, and I am, because the Bible does. Brother Steve mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. You read Exodus, especially get over there where he starts giving the law. You read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and particularly Deuteronomy. Numbers is more numbers orchestrated, but Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, and you're going to hear, I don't know, I would probably say at least dozens of times, you're going to hear repeated that God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day rested, and he tells us that Sabbath day is important, that we need to have one day out of seven, needs to be a day of rest and honor unto the Lord. He says that over and over and over and over. Matter of fact, you get to the New Testament, and it's even in the New Testament. God repeats himself again and again and again, and that's what the Proverbs do, that's what Solomon does, that's what the preacher does, amen. He has to repeat himself again and again. But I say, I don't feel embarrassed in order to do that, because I see that's the way Solomon did, the wisest of all men in his time, and a great preacher that he's known as the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, and so he understood that one of the best ways to teach is repetition, amen. And so that's what he did, he said it again, and again, and again. Matter of fact, I'll say this. As a father, any father would be highly naive to believe that just because you've told them once means they've got it. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll get to something about that in just a minute. It seems that as the years go by, we haven't changed much. We needed to be told again and again as a child. We get older, we need to be told again. And we need to be told again. Amen. Learning requires repetition. Now these admonitions, chapters 1 through 9, are very repetitive, especially in regard to this connection between wisdom and righteousness. Over and over, this father reminds his son that it is wise to be righteous. It is foolish to pursue after sin. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why he has to say that. It's because young men in particular, I say young men and young ladies in particular, they have a tendency to, let me find my right word. They say, I don't want nobody, I don't want to be led, I want to live my own life, but I want to follow my favorite star. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, but if she gets a tattoo, I'm getting one. If he gets a piercing, I'm getting one. Amen. If they get a divorce, I'm going to get one in my life one of these days, amen. I'm going to go ahead and sign up for it. And they say, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do, but I'm going to pattern my life. It is natural that young people pattern their life. It's natural that they do. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to do our best to give them a good pattern. Amen. Give them a good pattern. Give them some good instruction and show them the way that is right. Amen. And so he reminds him over and over and over again. And it seems like that he just can't make that link often enough. Tell him it is foolish to do wrong. It is wise to live righteous. Amen. And I'd say that's one of our most oft-repeated failures too. We tend to believe that, that it might pay off just to do wrong this one time. No, it's going to pay, but it won't pay off. Amen. Amen. And so, even when we grow into adulthood, we're tempted to sin. We forget our lessons. Amen. We forget what we've been taught about the foolishness of sin. We're deceived into thinking we can sin and get by with it, or at least this time it's going to turn out okay. But it's not going to. Amen. So we see him. So don't condemn the father that repeats himself to his son. Don't condemn the preacher that repeats his sermon. Don't condemn the teacher that repeats the lesson, because we need those lessons, those sermons, those instructions repeated again and again, because we're so prone to forget and we're so prone to deceive our own selves. Amen. Now, ever father, I said the fact about repeating it, and it'd be naive to think that if you said it once, means he's got it. Every father has gone through this. You've said to your son, son, hadn't I told you before? Or maybe it's something like this. How many times do I have to tell you? Amen. You know why? Because we need to tell them again and again and again. Amen. So we say this, son, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Amen. Amen. Over and over again we say that. Well, look at verse number 11. He said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. He said, I have told you. I've told you. And I'm still telling you. I have told you. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Amen. So he's saying, I've told you right. You need to stay with it. Verse 13, he says to hang on to it. Keep these instructions that I've given thee. Take fast hold. Get a hold of it. Don't turn loose of it. Amen. These instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So I say that a wise father reminds his son to keep those instructions that he has given him, to guard and protect those instructions. Recognize the value of it. Treasure it accordingly. Amen. Recognize its value and adopt it in his own way of thinking and his own way of living. Amen. And that's what this father's trying desperately to do. He's not just trying to steer his son's behavior. He's trying to reach his heart. Amen. Not just regulate what his hands do. Regulate his heart. Amen. Not just regulate where his feet go. And we could go on. And we'll see. It deals with some of that as we go on. But he said, I'm trying to get to your heart, son. I'm trying to get to your heart. Amen. Look at verse number 12. He says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. What he's saying is that it pays to live for God. It pays to walk the straight and narrow way. Amen. It pays to obey God's word. Amen. It'll result in a life without regrets. Amen. Amen. It'll result in a life that is blessed of God. In other words, he's saying runners need a clear path to run on. They need the weights gone. They need the stumbling blocks out of the way. They need a clear path in which to run their race, or else they're going to stumble. And the father says, son, I've tried to remove some of them stumbling stones. I've tried to help you to recognize them if it's a hurdle, that you know how to get over it and you know how to avoid the thing, that you don't get tripped up in your path of life. Amen. He's taken the time to set forth these truths and the time put in the effort to give him a good path to run on. Amen. Amen. And that's not saying young men don't need encouragement to squall their tires and spin their wheels and to run fast. They don't need encouragement. That comes natural to them. But he's saying, listen, if you don't have a clear path, you're going to have some trouble down the road. Amen. Amen. So he said, take hold of that, verse number 13. We looked at that already. In our previous lesson, the father recommended for his son to attain wisdom as his highest priority. He said, put it up there and get it at all costs. Whatever it costs to get it, get that instruction. Here he's saying to you, to him, lay hold on instruction. Amen. Don't let her go. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. He said, you've gathered some wisdom. I've given you some wisdom. Lay it up and hang on to it. Amen. Don't let it get away from you carelessly. Amen. I said, isn't it ironic that although everybody wants to get the most out of life, most people don't want to live in a way that gets them the most out of life. Amen. God's smile gets you the most out of life. God's blessing gets you the most out of life. God's pleasure gets you the most out of life. But a lot of people live their life without the smile of God, without the pleasure of God, without God even in their thoughts. They're living for themselves and thinking they're going to get the most out of life. I'm telling you, the Bible says that it won't happen that way. And so the father said to the son, son, lay up these things. He's doing what Proverbs 22 and 15 says, talking about foolishness being bound in the heart of the child. And I know this, it's bound in every child's heart. And it's bound in every human's heart. Amen. Amen. You can grow up, get big, you still get bigger physically. You still, if you're not careful, got foolishness in your heart. Amen. Amen. So then there's a remainder here, verses 14 through 19. In this admonition, he gives another exhortation about the life of wisdom. Only now, rather than telling his son what to seek after, he tells him what to avoid. Look at it, verses 14 through 19. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I'm going to stop there just a minute. When he's saying to them, don't start down that path. Enter not into their path. Don't start down that road. Amen. Don't start down that road. You know, you go in some stores, some parking lots, our parking lot's got two entrances and they're both entrances and exits. Some of them, one of those would be an entrance and the other would be an exit. And they'd have a sign that says, entrance only. Amen. And the other side would have the exit and it would say, do not enter. The Father said to the Son, that way that's going the evil way, do not enter. Stay away from that path. Steer yourself away from that path. Don't go, don't even start. Don't even start down that path. Amen. If you don't want to be a drunk, never drink your first beer. Amen. If you don't want to be hooked on drugs, don't ever even smoke a cigarette. Amen. If you don't want to be hooked on pornography, leave it alone. I could go a million ways we could talk about that. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't go that way. It'll take you further than you want to go. You've heard those saying, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. That is true. Amen. He said, it'll cost you more than you can imagine. Don't go that way. Go not in the way of evil men. Don't even make friends with them that's in the wicked way. Amen. They're telling dirty jokes. That's not the crowd you need to hang around with. Amen. They're using filthy language. That's not the crowd you need to hang around with. That's what he's saying to his son. Don't go down that wrong path. Stay away from that path. Don't go down the wrong track. Amen. Then he goes on verses 16. He says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Amen. So he's saying here, avoid that way at all costs. It's foolish. It doesn't pay. Amen. It never delivers what it promises. Amen. This verses 14, or actually verses 16 through 19, reminded me so much of chapter number 1, when he talks about, if sinners entice thee, go not with them. I reread that last night, and I read some commentary on that. And I'm telling you, there were some good thoughts, and I don't have time to go back really and deal with that in its entirety. But one of the ideas in that is that he's saying to him, son, these men, their plans, they say, we're gonna get this money from this man, and they try to make him look like he's done it wrong. Well, he's rich, he's got more money than he needs. He probably got it crooked anyway. We ought to take it from him. We'll be Robin Hoods. We'll steal from the rich and give it to the poor. And that's that old saying about the, honor among thieves. They said, we'll have a, and I've dealt with that, we'll have a, an even split. We'll split it 25-75. Amen. We'll split it right down the middle. 25-75. You get your 25, I'll get my 75, and we'll be fair. No, there's no honor among thieves. And so he's saying here, sin and wickedness never delivers what it promises. Never. There's always a hook. Amen. There's always a trap. There's always trouble down the road. Amen. Amen. And now, let me say this about in the family setting, because I've dealt with this over and over again. This is instruction of a father to the son. I believe we can apply this to parents, and it's a good model for our parenting. Amen. I say, don't just tell your kids not to do this or do that. Don't just tell them do's and don'ts. Teach them the foolishness of sin. The folly of sin. If you get an opportunity, teach them that. Show them why that it's foolish. Amen. Amen. Show them the foolishness of it all. One of the things that we did, and I, of course, you know my nature, you know how that I am. I love to joke and laugh and enjoy a good time. And I did like Elijah did those prophets of Baal. Sometimes I would mock at evil. Just, well, look at there. Doesn't that look like something? And matter of fact, I remember hearing Brother Kuhn did that. We were door knocking and he didn't do it to this woman. The woman came to the door. She had rings hanging everywhere. I mean, I think she had rings on rings. And anyway, when we was leaving, Brother Kuhn said to me, he said, you know, somebody must think they're pretty ugly to think that makes them look better. They must have started out pretty ugly. And that's true, really, if you think about it. And we can say that to our kids. What in the world do they think pink hair makes them look better? Amen. Or we could say a lot of different things about that and deal with it. So that's how we would do. We would laugh at it. I remember one occasion, and I may have used this before, but some years ago, my boys were young. They were young enough that they could do some work. And we had stopped. There's a place in Wilkesboro called Second Street Hill. It's a steep hill. It's an intersection there on the hill, a stop sign, stop light. And there was a truck had been going up that hill and got stopped by the traffic. When he stopped, his load shifted and he had plywood and lumber scattered all over a 4-lane highway. Scattered out there. These fellas are trying to get it up. They're trying to get it up. And one of the men out there trying to get it up was, he was like myself. He was pretty healthy. He was industrial size, as they say, amen. And he didn't have a belt on. And so he'd reach to get something, he had to grab his pants. And he's trying to load that truck. You ever pick up plywood with one hand? I said to my boys, we're sitting there waiting, not offering any help. We're just laughing and waiting. But I'm instructing my sons. I mean, it's important. Amen. So, I said, boys, that man would be worth a whole lot more money on the hour if he'd just buy a belt. Solomon's teaching his son this way, and there's good instruction for us. If we can, help them to see the foolishness of those decisions that some people make. Amen. Amen. So, having said all that, we go through these verses. He's trying to reach his son's heart, and that's what we ought to do, by the way. Amen. Press upon them the reality that they live under God. God has the right to make the rules. God has made rules, and we'll be wise to learn to live by them. Amen. Amen. They got to know that if they violate the order that God set up in society, it's not going to work out good for them. Amen. It's to their benefit if they'll bow their will to the will of God. Amen. Now, let me give you this point here from verse 20 through 27. He deals with this sixth lecture. We just looked verses 10 through 19, dealt with the fifth lecture. Here's the sixth lecture. And in this, he's telling his son to listen well to divine wisdom. That's my first point. These two points. Listen well to divine wisdom. Verses 20 through 27. I'm not going to read them at the moment, but we'll look at it. Solomon exhorts his son yet again that he needs to pay attention. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. That does not just mean show up when I'm talking. Amen. To make it way we can, it could mean shut up while I'm talking. It could mean stand up and pay attention when I'm talking. Listen up when I'm talking. The attend these words that he's saying, attend to my words does not just mean be there, but he means put them in your life. Listen to them, pay attention, and take them as your own and use them. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. There's where I'm going now. Put them in your heart. Put them in your heart. Have a heart for wisdom. Amen. Keep them in front of your eyes. Put them and keep them in your ears. And put them and keep them in your heart. He presses his son both to listen and to remember what he has taught him. Amen. One of the problems with young people today that I can see is they have very short attention spans. We can blame that on television. I think it is to blame. We can blame that on video games. I think that may very well be to blame. We can blame it on a lot of things, the way the world is today. There's a whole lot of blame because it's not just the children that have short attention spans. It's adults as well nowadays. Amen. You ought to read some of those, you read the Puritans. They'd write and a sentence would be this long. I mean, just the title of their sermon would be 3 or 4 pages, Brother Steve. Amen. Amen. But you ought to read some of the discussions between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, talking about slavery and the abolition of slavery and some of their arguments between the two of them. Those men and people would stand for hours. And by the way, it was a debate, but it wasn't, they didn't have 2 minutes to make their point. they'd take maybe an hour and make their point. And then the next fellow, and by the way, when the next fellow's answering it, he's answering it point for point for point for point. He has remembered what the paragraphs was that he just heard that man say. He didn't have them on paper. He didn't have them before him. There was memory work involved. Boy, we've gone a long way today, the wrong way. Amen. The father said to his son, son, it's going to pay you to listen and to remember what I'm saying to you. Amen. Lay it up in your heart. Value this instruction. Amen. Adopt it as your own way of thinking. So he says, attend my words. He says, incline thine ear. That portrays a pricking up of the attention. Amen. Put your ears on. I remember Dad used to say that. Put your ears on, boys. I'm talking to you. Amen. A lot of different things that could be said there. Put your antenna up. Pay attention to what I'm saying. It means to pay close attention. It means to bend forward to get a clearer view or a better understanding. Amen. He wants his son not just to listen passively. Not just to listen while he's doing something else. Because he may not really be listening when he's doing something else. Amen. Amen. Well, I do. Let me just go ahead. I've seen people in church, when the preacher's preaching, I've seen people balance their checkbooks. I've seen them file their nails. I've seen them take a pencil and try to stick that pencil in the ear of the kid in front of them, trying to get that kid's attention. And amen. I thought about taking something and ramming in their ear. No, I'm kidding. I hadn't. I did not think about that. Amen. I kept myself from thinking about that. Amen. No, but seriously, people do all kinds of things and they say, well, I'm paying attention, when in reality they're not really paying that much attention. If we're not careful, that's where we are. He said to his son, pay attention, advises him to put it in your heart. Keep them. Put it in front of your eyes and keep them in your heart. Amen. Look at verse number 22. He says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to the flesh. Amen. Again, he's going back to what he said in verse number 10. It's going to add years to your life. It's going to be beneficial to you. Amen. If you'll listen. Now notice this. He's talking about his flesh. He's not just talking about his soul. He's not just talking about when you get up to heaven, it'll be good for you. He's talking about this life right now. It's going to make you healthier to live by the Bible. Amen. It's going to make you healthier to live by the Bible. It's going to help you to live longer if you live by the Bible. In other words, he's saying God's word is good medicine. Amen. It'll help you to take it. It'll help you to listen to it. Even if there is no heaven or hell. Even if there is no judgment day. No judgment bar. You'd be better off in this life if that's all there was. To listen to the Bible. And pay attention to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Look at verses 23 through 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We'll come back to that in a minute. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. Notice, he just talked about the flesh in verse number 22. It'll be health to your flesh. And now he's going to start, he talks about the heart, he talks about the mouth, he talks about the eyes, he talks about the eyelids, he talks about the mouth and the lips in verse 24, the heart 23, mouth and lips 24, the eyes and eyelids in verse 25, the feet in verses 26 and 27. And so I think here's how we apply these. The heart is what we think about. In other words, the heart is what we are. Amen. The mouth is what we say. It's how we talk. The eyes is what we look at. And the feet is where we go. Amen. It's very clear to me this father is trying to get wisdom into his son. And he's saying, son, if you'll let this wisdom get in your heart, it will design and shape your entire life. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you look, what you look at, where you go, and the things you do. Amen. If you'll let this wisdom get into your heart. You remember the song we learned in Sunday school, oh, be careful. Oh, be careful, little eyes or little feet where you go. I think that's how it started. Oh, be careful, little feet where you go. We went over and over and over that. And then there's a father up above looking down in peace and love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And went on, little hands, what you do, little tongue, what you say, little eyes, what you see, little ears, what you hear, little heart, what you believe. We got to be careful. Every part of our body is important. Amen. And he's saying here, if you'll put this wisdom in your heart, it will direct all those other parts of your body. Amen. And I think this counsel is very important. So he's saying, look well to divine wisdom. Look into it. And then my last point is this, verse 23, and this is my major point. He says, not only look well to it, but he says, lock it in. Lock in that divine wisdom. Keep thine heart. That word keep is Strong's number 5341. It means to guard and to protect. Amen. So the father is saying to his son to guard his heart. Amen. Guard your heart. That is very, very important for young men and young women. Amen. It's important for all of us at any age. I'm not diminishing that, but it is of so much more importance when you're young that you guard your heart, that you don't let in those things that's going to bring up tares among the wheat. It's going to bring up thorns and thistles in your life. It's going to bring up troubles and trials down the road. He's telling the son, guard your heart, protect your heart. Amen. In the Bible, oftentimes, and it's this way in our language too, but in the Bible, the word heart does not necessarily refer to the organ that pumps blood throughout your body. Not just talking about that organ. He's talking about our, sometimes he's talking about our affections, the way we feel. Amen. Our heart. We say it, his heart's not in it. Amen. You ever seen somebody, they say, well, his heart's not in it. Well, if he's in it, his heart's got to be in it because his heart's in him. But his heart's not in it means he's not really all in. He's not affectionate about it. Amen. But I believe it really entails all that our being. It's the center of our being and all that comprises us that makes me, me. That makes you, you. It's our psyche, it's our mind, it's our affections, it's our will, all these things. It's the inner person that makes you, you. All your desires, all your dreams, all your ambitions, all your appetites, all your thoughts, all your plans come from your heart. Amen. Now, I'm going to run over some things we learned from the Proverbs. Let me just throw these out, some things we learned from the Proverbs about the heart. We find that the heart is the seat of wisdom. Proverbs 2:10, the first part of that verse says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. Your heart is what receives that wisdom. Proverbs 3 verse 5 tells us that the heart is the seat of trust and confidence. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. The heart is the source of plans and schemes. Proverbs 6:18, the first part says, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. The heart brings up those wicked thoughts, he said. Proverbs 6:25, the first part of that tells us that the heart is the seat of lust. He says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Amen. Proverbs 8:5 tells us that the heart is the seat of understanding. He says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Amen. In Proverbs 11:20, we find out that the heart can be the seat of rebellion. He says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. And we see in Proverbs 16:9 that the heart is the source of intellectual pursuits. He says, a man's heart deviseth his ways. Amen. He's thinking in his heart. He is devising plans in his heart, is what he's talking about. So in other words, the heart is the inner self that makes you you. Amen. That's why Proverbs 27 verse 19, here's what it says. It says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Here's what he's saying. When you look down in water, you see your face down there. Your face answers back to your face. He says, when God looks in your heart, he sees you in there because that's what you are. Amen. If you can look in your heart, if you could see what's in your heart, you'll see you. That's what it is. Amen. That's why Solomon talks about this heart. He deals with it so much. And verse number 23, I believe, is a capstone of this chapter. and really a capstone, a very strong capstone of much of the teachings of the Word of God. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Solomon said, put your diligence in it. Pay attention to it. Amen. Put time and effort into protecting your heart. Amen. And do it above all else. Now listen, this gets pretty much, keep thy heart with all diligence. Above anything else, be careful who you are. Be careful what you are. Amen. Doesn't matter what others think about you. What you are is what's important. Amen. I put it this way. I think it's right when he says put it above everything else. Before your responsibility to make money is your responsibility to be right with God. Before your responsibility to earn a living, to provide for your family, make sure your heart's right with God. Before you take care of your health, make sure your heart is right with God. Even before you serve the Lord, there's a lot of men get behind the pulpit and their hearts are away from God and away from the things of God, and they've not guarded their heart. That's why Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading and to doctrine and unto thyself, he said. Amen. Pay attention to yourself. Amen. Deal with yourself. Let the Bible deal with your heart. Protect who you are inwardly, because it'll either make you or break you. Amen. Now you can run on pretty good for a while, everybody thinking everything's all right, when you've not dealt with your heart. You've let your heart go in wrong directions. You can go on for a while, but somewhere down the road, what's in your heart is going to come out. Amen. That's why David's repentance in Psalm 51, verse number 6, he says that God desires truth in the inward parts. God wants repentance from the heart. Amen. He said, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That's what David said in his repentant prayer. Genuine repentance is more than just asking forgiveness. Genuine repentance comes from the heart that longs to be right with God. Amen. That's why David said, I want a clean heart. Psalm 51 verse 10. Amen. Because of sin, we have a bad heart. And we sin because we have a bad heart. Amen. It's our own lustful desires that lead us astray. James 1:14. Every man's tempted when he's led of his own lust. Amen. Amen. I believe that's why the heart is so important to every person. Amen. Amen. When Jesus Christ saves a soul from hell, he does not just write forgiveness on the ledger of heaven. He works in the heart of the sinner. Amen. He's not just interested in leaving your heart wicked and your name written in heaven. Oh, no. Salvation is more than just having your name written in heaven. Salvation is having Jesus move in your heart, kick the devil out of your heart. Amen. Somebody's preaching the other night on the preacher's hour, last week, not this past, but week before, and it's talking about how that, John Melton said, he's talking about how the Lord kicked the devil out of the driver's seat of his soul, he said. Amen. Amen. So there's much misunderstanding and much misconception about Christianity when you think all Christianity is just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's more than that. Genuine religion is in the heart. Amen. It's in the heart of man, the inner man. That's why legalism always fails. Amen. Outward restrictions, outward regulations can only go so far. What we need is a heart that longs to do right. Amen. That's why the sinner must repent. His heart must be changed. Amen. Must be turned in a different direction than the way it's going. Amen. Your heart is really who you are. Proverbs 23 says this, 23:7, the first part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is who you really are. Amen. Amen. Because of that, because the heart is who we really are, because who and what we are inwardly determines everything about us, Solomon exhorts his son again and again and again to guard his heart with all diligence. Put the effort into it. Amen. Take the time. Amen. Take the time. Make sure the influences that come to your heart are wisdom oriented. They're headed in the right direction, not in the wrong direction. Amen. Don't let your heart linger on sensual or covetous thoughts. Amen. Don't let your heart linger on resentment or greed or selfishness or anger. Amen. Don't let your heart get stuck on that. Some people's heart's like a record with a big scratch in it. And just keeps getting stuck right there. Amen. Just keeps getting stuck. Don't let sin infect your heart and steer your life astray. Guard it, is what he's saying. Guard it. Be careful what you think about. Amen. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Amen. Be careful what your continual exposure to evil does to you. Be careful. I mean, we're always around evil. I understand that. There's evil in this world. Be careful that it does not desensitize you to sin and make you think that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. Amen. Guard your heart. Amen. Amen. How do you do that? Well, put the Word of God in your heart. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. Amen. Put it in your heart. Psalm 119 verse 11. You know it very well. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Think on good things. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Think on those good things that God's told us about. Amen. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Solomon saying, guard your heart. Paul saying, guard your heart. Jesus is saying, guard your heart. Be careful what you allow into your heart. It's going to affect your life. Amen. That's why the wise father presses his son so strongly. Not just to conform outwardly to these principles, but to absorb his teaching. Let it sink in and get in your heart. Amen. Prize it in your heart. That's what all these admonitions in chapters 1 through 9 deal with. He's trying to get wisdom into the heart of his son. Program your thinking. Program your mind to seek after wisdom. Amen. Grab hold of it. That's what he's saying. Amen. Why? Because that's what determines everything else about you. What is in your heart? Amen. Everything about you stems from what's on the inside. Amen. Amen. You got to give every diligence to guard your heart. Amen. Now, if we're not careful, we'll let our thoughts drift off and we'll start listening to the counsel of the ungodly. We'll start sitting in the seat of the scornful. We'll do exactly what Psalm 1 says that the blessed man does not do. Amen. What happens if we go against what God said was blessed? If we go against what God said is blessed, then we wind up in a cursed state. We wind up in a condemned state. Amen. So he tells us we've got to be careful, else this sin will deform our heart. It'll skew everything about us. We'll be all messed up. Amen. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. Proverbs 4:23 is massive. It is life-shaping. It is exactly... it's all that it says that it is right here. It is foundational and transformational truth right here in this verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's not just an Old Testament principle. I showed you verses there in the New Testament. It's a Bible principle. Amen. I'll say that again. It is a Bible principle that we guard our heart. I don't have time to go into depth to it, but if you'd read Colossians chapter number 3 again, you'll find out Paul's dealing with those. It's amazing to me. Paul loved those Colossians. I touched on it this morning in my sermon. He had never seen them. He said, you've not seen my face. Paul did not start the church at Colossae. Some Bible scholars believe that the church at Ephesus, believers from Ephesus went to Colossae and started the church at Colossians. And it's very possible that it's so. And you see the letter to the Colossians and the letter to the Ephesians is so very similar. But Paul was concerned about those Colossians. And in chapter number 3, he gives them some, we'll just say, basic living recommendations. That's a good word to say. Some basic living recommendations in chapter number 3. And he tells them some exhortations regarding their Christian behavior and their Christian life. He commands us in Colossians chapter number 3 to watch out for immorality, to watch out for malice and slander, to watch out for obscene talk. He commands us concerning relationships in the home in Colossians chapter number 3. Amen. He commands us about relationships in the workplace in Colossians chapter number 3. He commands us to look for these virtues such as compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and unity. And all that's real important in Colossians chapter 3. But he couches every bit of that in the context of the inner man. The way your home is because of the way you are in your heart. Amen. The way, and I'd say the way we are in our heart. Amen. Because I realize there's more than one in your home perhaps. And if there is, then there's a dual accountability there that goes in there. But everything that's involved, the way our church is because of the way we are. Amen. It's a reflection of our heart. And so he's saying we got to be careful. And he talks about put your affection on things above. That's why he starts out with that. Set your affection on things above. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And he goes on talking about let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how you perform all these outward deeds, is by having your heart made right with God. That's what he's dealing with. Amen. We're transformed from the inside out. And that lines right up with the Proverbs. That's what he's talking about here. That's why this is so important. He's talking about being transformed. Let me guide your heart. Solomon says this in another place. I didn't mark it. But he says, my son, give me thine heart. Amen. Many years ago, hard to imagine me how many years ago it was. It seems, I think I'm a young man, but I look back and it's amazing me how many things happened decades ago. But I remember my daughter was young. She once was young. And I took those verses and we in family altar and we talked. And I asked Hannah if she would give me her heart and trust me that she'd not give her heart to anybody else until we was settled that this is the will of God. And allow me, and that's why in the wedding ceremony we say, who gives this woman? Because he's supposed to have her heart. Amen. I don't know, we just had this wedding, Miss Sarah and her dad. I don't know exactly how close they are, but most daughters, in a sense, are daddy's girl. There's something special about that. I know there's something special about a mother, and I'm not taking away from that, but there's something special about a father and the daughter, and it's a big thing for him to give her away. I said to them in the wedding practice that Jim Belcher, somebody asked him when his daughter was getting married, said, how does it feel to give your daughter away? He said, it's like you've got this priceless Stradivarius, priceless violin, and you're getting ready to take it down the aisle and hand it to a gorilla. Amen. But the idea in that, I mean, that's big business for him to give her heart away. But he can't give it away if he hasn't had it. That's why Solomon is saying, son, give me thine heart. Children, give your parents your heart. Let them teach you. Let them help you. And you'll be wise to do so. You can put up your rebellion. You can walk on in your own way. And you'll pay the price for doing that. You'll reap. And I won't say it's rewards. You'll reap the bad fruit of walking on in rebellion and doing your own thing. Or you can reap the rewards of listening to mom and dad a little bit. Listening to the word of God. Amen. Amen. It's the first commandment with promise. Brother Steve reminded us of that this morning. The first commandment with promise is to honor your father and mother. Amen. To obey your parents. In the Lord. Amen. Now, what I'm speaking about right here, right now, again, it's not just about do's and don'ts. It's about our heart, who we are inwardly. Amen. I'm going to ask this question in conclusion. I talked about children, give your heart to your parents. Have you ever given your heart to Christ? I'm not just talking about salvation. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to sign away my heart. No, it's not like that. It's not really like that. I really believe that in salvation there's a work, and I can't explain it entirely. It goes on, really it's so in depth that a lot of people may not even realize that it happens. But I believe there is something that happens in the heart of a sinner When the Holy Ghost starts dealing, that dealing and drawing of conviction, I believe you start falling out of love with the world, out of love with sin, out of love with self, and you start falling in love with the Father, and in love with the Son, and in love with the things of God. Amen. And it's as if the Holy Spirit says, wilt thou go with this man? Amen. Like Rebecca. And she says, oh yes, I'll go with him. Amen. And that sinner comes to that place when the Holy Ghost starts saying, turn loose of this and take hold of him. Amen. Have you ever given your heart to God? But not just in salvation. You let him rule your life. You let him nourish your heart. You let him teach you. You let him guide you. Amen. Verse number 23, very simply, means that you can't expect to have spiritual success without continual perpetually giving your heart to Jesus. It's not just a one day thing. There's a prolonged attention to guarding your heart. There's a prolonged attention in walking with God day by day. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. That's the way we ought to live. That's the way we ought to live. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 in particular. Such a great portion of scripture. Amen. Such a great portion of scripture. It's talking about life-shaping work. Amen. Give your heart to the teacher. Give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to God, and you'll be blessed if you'll do so. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, the truths that have been expounded this evening. And Lord, I know it's been repetitive, but we need it again and again and again. We need to be reminded of how important it is that we give our heart, not just on Sunday morning, Monday morning. It's coming up. Help us give our heart to you. Tuesday morning, be here before we know it. Help us give our heart to you. Every day, Lord, help us give our heart. And help us not take it back. Help us give it to you. Help us to guard that we don't let in those ungodly, those unhealthful thoughts and feelings and emotions and designs and dreams and goals. Help us keep it out. We can bring you the glory. We can benefit. We'll benefit in our own life. And you'll get the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.